And we're up to the first of the wide lines. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. And the Gemara quotes the following. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna. The Amrile, others say it was Rav Huna in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Mina Torah, Umina Navim, Umina Ksuvim. We could derive from all of Tanakh. Shebederech Sha'adam Rotsa Lelech Ba Molichin Oso. That if a person wants to go in a certain way, the Torah doesn't put up a stumbling block. There's no barriers. Correct? So this is where we ended last time. If you recall, I was rushing to the finish line to get Bilam in and under the wire. So that's Minat Torah. Because on the one hand, Vayomer L'Kimel Bilam, God says to Bilam, Lo Selech Imahem, God has no interest in Bilam going to curse B'nai Yisrael. But it says Kum Lech Itav, a little bit later on, about 8 psukim later, it says go and do what you have to. Why? Because that's what Bilam wanted to do. So what we see here is that if a person wants to go on an evil path, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to prevent him from doing so. And here's where the Meiri makes a very, very famous comment here in the Meiri, as we say Afanorot here in Makkos. He says, Miyisodos hadas umipinos emuna, it's one of the fundamentals of faith lahamin, shabachira biyad ha'adam, lahara o lahetiv, umipia elyon lo teitzah roz vatov. God is not going to make it harder for you or easier for you. You know, you want to go in this very bad path, God is going to say, go ahead, do it. Eino machriach olav, says the Meiri. Shem lo ken, if you don't accept this principle, batlu kol mitzvos vaTorah. V'hu kvar omar re'ei nasati l'fetz ha'chayim v'satov zavav v'sara u'bacharta v'chayim, which means that you have freedom of choice. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to prevent Bilam from going on this way. That's number one. That's as far as the Torah is concerned. Correct? Now we go on to Nevi'im. And what does it say in Yeshayahu Navi? Ani Hashem Elokecha Melamdecha Lahoil Madrichecha Biderech Telech. And here emphasize the word Lahoil, because Lahoil means for the benefit of mankind. In other words, you want to do something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will guide you, Madrichecha Biderech Telech. In other words, that you've chosen the good path, then if that's your choice, I'm going to support your choice. I'm not going to make it difficult for you. And finally, a pasuk in Mishle, Tichsiv im la leitzim hu yolitz v'la novim yitein chen. So I want to read to you the Rashi in Mishle on this pasuk. Rashi says the following: Im la leitzim adam nimshach achrehem. A person likes to join the crowd of leitzim, of those who are very cynical about life. They're not serious, they're laid back. L'sof afhuya leitzimon, says Rashi, he will be sucked in, he will be impacted by this community, by this society that he hangs out with. Ula novim yiten chen, but if he links himself, he joins, says Rashi, yischab ala novim basof yidnu maisov chen beineim shel brios, he will be able to become a good guy, he will be a balanova, because that's where he is. So it means a person comes to be mischaver, to get close to the leitzim, Hashem says, you know what, I'm not going to prevent you. That's the way you want to go, that's the way it'll be. The Aruch HaNer here has a very brilliant, as usual, brilliant insight. He wants to know why the Gemara needs 3 psukim. And sometimes we say 3 psukim is just to reiterate something, but he sees in each pasuk a nuance of a chiddush. He says the first pasuk is teaching about an evildoer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to prevent someone from doing evil, and that's the case of Bilam. However, we still don't know that a person is doing good, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually put barriers in his way, because the more he overcomes the barriers, the greater the reward that he'll get. Says the Aruch HaNer, that's why the Gemara quotes the second pasuk from Yeshayahu HaNavi, because there it says Lahoil, we're talking about God facilitating a person to do good, and that's what Hashem will do. What about one individual who sometimes does good, sometimes does evil? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes pattern according to the Netiyas HaLev of the person at that particular moment? And the answer is yes. And that's the pasuk in Mishle, in Ksuvim. Says the Archaner, this is referring to one person. And sometimes that person is drawn, gravitationally pulled, to the Leitzim. And then who Yolitz? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, alright, you want to go in that direction? That's where you'll be impacted. On the other hand, sometimes he is attracted to the Anovim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him Chain and guide him in that direction.
Who was the
Malamed Gaon? The Malamed Gaon was Zvi Hoffman, I think.
It was obviously Hoffman.
David Zvi Hoffman, yeah, he was the Rav of the Rabbinic Seminary in Berlin. Yeah, I don't know if he took it from here, maybe he did. Yeah, it makes sense that he did. In any event, I just want to point out that Ben Ishchai has a different Malamed. He's also bothered by the Aruch Lanei's question as to why the Gemara needs three Psukim to teach us that Bederech Shadam Rotsa Lelech Molichen Oso. He says that what the Gemara wants to emphasize here is Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. That whether it's a case where he has a Machshava to do something, like the case of Bilam, who thought about, contemplated about cursing Klal Yisrael, says Ritzono was to do such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch's not going to put any barriers. Or it's a case of Dibur, like in the pasuk about Leleitzim, there Leitzonis is talking about Dibur, and finally, Viderech Teleth, that's already Maisa. Okay, fine. What I find just methodologically, I always like to point out these Achronim because they give us a taste of how to learn a piece of Gemara. You know, you can read this Gemara and, you know, sort of skim over it, not pay attention, but they're calling our attention to the fact that the Gemara wants to prove this from three different psukim. I would also add, and I don't think it's a stira neither to the Aruch Lanei's approach nor to the approach of the Ben Ishchai, the Ben Yehoyada, that these psukim are not just three psukim, they represent three parts of the Torah, meaning there are three disciplines in Torah. Torah is divided up into Tanakh. Each section of the Torah has its own unique personality. And that's why, for example, you find in the Malchus Zichron Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, which I'm sure you all thought of immediately when it says Tanakh, right? That when it's not enough to bring 10 psukim from the Torah or 10 psukim from the Navi or 10 psukim from... It's got to be 3, 3, and 3. And then the last pasuk goes back to the Torah itself, but it's got to be, in a sense, a representation of all. The Gemara says in Brachos, why do we call up three people to the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays? Keneged Tanakh. You know, each person, when he gets called up to the Torah, he has his own character, his own personality. And that is reflected in the Tanakh. The Torah is multifaceted and has a different character. Well, let's go on. The Gemara now establishes a statement of Rav Huna. Am I correct? Omar Rav Huna? Yeah. Now, this statement of Rav Huna is something that we're familiar with in the past. But now that we've learned, now that we started preparing this shiur, this sugya, I'm not sure that it's so poshut. I'm not sure if everyone is going to quickly embrace the sheet of Rav Huna. And the question is, somebody commits murder. He's running, he's on his way fast as he can run, fast as his legs can carry him, to get to the Ir Miklat, and now the Gol Adam kills him on his way. Is the Gol Adam allowed to kill a person on his way to the Ir Miklat? We know for sure that the Gol Adam is not allowed to kill the Rotzeach once the Rotzeach enters into the Ir Miklat. In fact, we're not sure if the Gol Adam can kill the Rotzeach even if he steps out of the Ir Miklat. That depends on why he stepped out. If he did it on his own volition, then the Gol Adam could kill him. But if he did it because he has to be brought back for trial in front of the Beis Din, then that's going to be a gigantic machlokas. What happens if the Gol Adam takes the law into his own hands and knocks the Rotzeach's block off? Here in this case, the Rotzeach, let's read Rav Huna, Rotzeach shegol lir miklot, umitso gol adam, says Rashi, mitso gol adam bederech palichoso. So the Gol Adam finds the Rotzeach on the Rotzeach's way to the miklot, palichoso l'sham. And the Meiri says that the statement of Rav Huna could be extended by application even to the case where Beis Din calls the Rotzeach back from the Ir Miklat. In other words, he's already gotten to the Ir Miklat, but now he's on his way to Beis Din. And we'll see about that Chiddush of the Meiri. But in any event, Rashi says explicitly that Rav Huna is addressing the situation in which the Rotzeach is on his way for the first time to the Ir Miklat. Umitso Gol Adam, the Gol Adam finds him on the road, Farog, when he kills him, says Rav Huna Potter, the Gol Adam is not subject to any punishment whatsoever.
Isn't that a classic case of Gol Adam? If it's not in this case, when would it be?
When would the Gol Adam be able to kill him? Well, let's say, for example, the Rotzeach is not interested in going into the Eir Miklat. You know, he's not running to the Eir Miklat. He's taking his time. You know, in fact, maybe the Rotzeach is trying to get a slow boat to China. You know, in that case, you know, the Gol Adam could track him down anywhere in the face of the earth and kill him. According to Halacha, I don't know what'll.
That's the only time you can get him before he gets into the Eir.
Well, we're going to see what happens if the Rotzeach steps out of the goal, out of the Eir Miklat. That's going to be another discussion. I don't want to anticipate that yet. That's going to be a sugya later on. But I'm just saying that if the Rotzeach is not availing himself of the protection of the Eir Miklat, the Gol Adam is certainly going to kill him. In this case, Ribono Shel Olam, give the Rotzeach a chance, give him the opportunity to get to the Eir Miklat. So again, Sammy, we're very familiar with this statement. It almost resonates. But what I'm going to try to show you, which again, that was a total eye-opener to me, is that the Gemara is not so happy about this, Rav Huna. The Gemara, at the end of the day, we probably will accept Rav Huna, but we're going to give him a fight. You know. Now let's see where Rav Huna knows this from. This is going to be a critical point. Rav Huna says, Kasavar. He interprets, Kasavar in this case means he interprets the Pasuk thusly. Which Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Velo ein mishpat mavis. Which means, if I could translate it a little bit liberally, it means he does not deserve to die. And I always say the worst enemy in language and communication is a pronoun. I have this in my own marriage, you know, my wife. Which, who, he, what, when, you know, tell me exactly what you mean. And by the way, it's not just that my wife is guilty of it, I'm guilty of it too. Because we live in a world of pronouns. Here's a classical case. The Torah says, Velo ein mishpat mavis. He does not deserve to die. Ribono Shel Olam, who is the he? Who is the he? Okay, fine. Says Rav Huna, Begol Adam hu dechsiv. The one who doesn't deserve to die is the Gol Adam, meaning the Gol Adam took the law into his hands. He murdered, he killed the Rotzeach, and he doesn't deserve to die. And that's what he says, Harogo Potter. Now, let's read the Pasuk inside. You may, if you have the Torah or HaSholem of the Oz Vahad Gemara, you might see the whole bit. It says, Pen Yirdof. In my Gemara, it's number Tess. In the Torah or HaSholem. I don't know if you have that. Okay, listen about Pe'ah, or take out a Chumash. You know, it might not be a bad idea to take out a Chumash, because this whole sugi revolves around the Psukim. Anyway, the Chumash says the following. Pen Yirdof Gol Adam Achre Rotzeach. Okay, so we're certainly talking the ratio of this Pasuk about the Gol Adam who's running after the Rotzeach. Ki Yecham Levavo, because the Gol Adam is burning up. Right? Unfortunately, we're living through this now, you know, with all the... Okay, Visigo, and now the Gol Adam gets a hold of the Rotzeach. How would you translate the word Visigo? Can you give me a better word? Catches up to him? What? Yeah. What do you say, Aaron?
Grab hold of him.
Yeah, no, I don't think it means... When two people are running, one, you know, Shimon is running after Reuven. When Shimon catches up to Reuven, that's called Visigo, but there's a better word for it in English.
Yeah, he tried to overtake him.
Overtake him. Okay, maybe that's a little bit better.
Yeah. He strikes him.
No. Well, no, we're not up to that yet, but that's coming up, Harvey. Wait, hang in there. Ki yir ba'aderech, vihiko nefesh. Now, vihiko nefesh, at least in Rav Huna's favorite verses, means... The Gol Adam killed the Rotzeach. We're going to see that there are other ways of learning it. Velo ein mishpat mavis. But then look at the next couple of words. A little bit odd. You know, we're not going to kill the Gol Adam. Why? Ki lo sonehu lo mitmol shelshon. That sounds a little bit more like a description of whom?
The accidental killer.
The Rotzeach himself. It's very odd to say that those words... Again, you could push it in, and that's exactly what Rav Huna is going to do. He's going to say that we can't put the Gol Adam to death because, after all, he doesn't really hate this... you know, it wasn't like Mitmol Shilshom from yonder, you know, from the year one, he was out to kill this Rotzeach. No! He's in a situation of Yacha Ki Yachem Levavo, and that's why he killed him, and therefore he's guiltless. And we don't put him to death. So the Gol Adam here is running after the Rotzeach, before the Rotzeach reaches the safety and the protection of the Eir Miklat. And basically, you know what? The Gol Adam is not afraid of anybody here in this case. I mean, he may be afraid of the Rotzeach, but he's not afraid of the law, because the law actually provides him with protection, because v'lo ein mishpat moved. So, like, what does he have to lose over here? I mean, if he has a long-range RPG, and he's not afraid of getting killed by the Rotzeach, you know, it's like, I was always wondering if Pinchas was afraid of Zimri turning around and killing Pinchas, because habala hargach hashkem hargach zerode. But in any event, in this particular scenario, the Gol Adam has a green light, he has carte blanche, to kill the Rotzeach. And why? Because lo ein mishpat mavus. That means the Gol Adam is not going to be chayev misa for such a thing. Then we have to add that the sefer the pasuk ki lo sonehu lo mitmol shilshon is a reference, and that's what Rashi is going to spell out in this long Rashi called the Gol Adam. That last part of the pasuk sofa mikra, you see it about 5 lines down in the Rashi Dimaraska Gol Adam. HaOmer, which says, quote, Ki lo sonehu the Gomer, Musav al Rosho. It goes back to the beginning of the pasuk, Pen Yirdov Gol Adam. Ani Omer lecha lahachin lecha derech, Ki lo sonehu hayolo v'lo hargo midas. This is not considered deliberate murder when the Gol Adam takes the law into his hands and kills the Rotzeach. That's what Rashi says. The Ritva is not so happy about that. He thinks that even Rav Huna could accept, as we'll see in the Gemara later, that the second part of this pasuk, the finale of this pasuk, it can be interpreted differently. Says the Ritva, "Lefichach ein legal adam mishpat mavus al rigos shal rotzech lefi shlo sona hilolo mitzvah shadainu shlo hargo machmasinel mishum." Okay, I'm sorry, I take that back. The Ritva really just embellishes Rashi. Meisa usually means a kasha from what? Anybody know? A brisa. Yeah, it has to be a brisa. If it's a mishnah, it'll say tenisuha. Usually, and this is a case of a brisa. Let's look at the brisa. The brisa is also focused, like Rav Huna, on this pasuk, v'lo ein mishpat moves. Says the brisa, v'rotzeach hakosav medaber. The reason why the Gol Adam should not be encouraged to kill the Rotzeach is because lo ein mishpat moves. The Rotzeach doesn't deserve to die. The pasuk is saying that we are commanded and mandated to do everything that we can to protect the Rotzeach and see to it that his life is spared, and we have to worry about that because the Gol Adam is running after him to kill him. And the reason for that is, the Torah says, because lo ein mishpat moves. So the entire description in the ratio of this pasuk that we saw earlier, pen yirdov Gol Adam because kiyakim levavo, these are all reasons why the life of the Rotzeach is in danger. The Gol Adam is burning mad, he's looking for revenge. And on the other hand, we've got to provide the Rotzeach with a possible protection, because hu lo sone hu lo mitmol shosham, the Rotzeach was not a mazid, he was a shogi. You know, it's really interesting to say that he's not a mazid, because really at this point I don't think we know for sure whether he's a mazid or not. I'll come back to this point a little bit later when we're really ready to tackle this head on, but please keep this, you know, in the back of your minds. Again, we're talking about the first round now. In other words, it's only after the second round when he comes back from escorted back from the Eir Miklat to the court. That's when, at the end of the day, we'll figure out that he was a shogeg. We don't really know yet he's a shogeg. The Gemara is going to establish that every Rotzeach, even a mazid, will run to the Eir Miklat. But in any event, the Brisa says, and what if you tell me like Rav Huna? Ata Omer b'Rotzeach. I assume, says the Bala Brisa, that it's referring to the Rotzeach. Oh, but perhaps you'll argue in favor of Rav Huna's approach. Eino ela b'Gol Adam. Then really the one about which the Torah is describing as Lo-Ein Mishpat is the Gol Adam, who doesn't deserve to die because when he kills the Rotzeach. No, says the Brisa, he can't say such a thing. Why? Kishuhu Omer, Notice when it says at the very end of the pasuk, "Vehu lo sonelo mitmol shilsham," have he only rotzeach hakosim medaber. In other words, if the end of the pasuk is referring to rotzeach and telling us that the reason why we have to do whatever we can to protect the rotzeach is because lo sonelo mitmol shilsham, he did not commit an intentional murder, is therefore it's logical to say that the beginning of the pasuk is likewise referring to the rotzeach. And what we're saying is that ein chiyuv mishpat mavis l'rotzeach, the gol adam should not be killing the rotzeach because the rotzeach doesn't deserve to die because ein lo mishpat mavis. So we see from this brisa that the pasuk should be interpreted not like Rav Huna interpreted it, and the way Rav Huna interpreted the pasuk was coming to teach us that if the gol adam kills the rotzeach when the rotzeach is on his way to the mikot, the gol adam is not to be put to death. The Brisa doesn't interpret like that. So Rav Bosai, this is where I reiterate my point from before, that although Rav Huna is forever indelibly engraved in our minds, the Gemara doesn't see it as so partial. In fact, the only way the Gemara is going to defend Rav Huna against this onslaught is to introduce a second Brisa and say that, you know what, Rav Huna doesn't work out with this Brisa, but don't completely remove him out of and knock him out of the box because he has a different Brisa to stand on. Or the other leg to stand. Yeah.
Based on this brisa, what is the source for Goel Adam to kill the Rotzeach?
That's, you see, Rabbi Sachtowitz, I did a lot of work on this and I couldn't come to an answer to the question I'm about to ask you. And therefore, I came up with my own answer. And I don't know if I'm right. With trepidation, I share this with you. According to this brisa, that Ein Lo Mishpat Mavis is referring to the Rotzeach and not to the Gol Adam, would the Gol Adam be culpable if he killed the Rotzeach on his way to the Ir Miklat? I'm not sure. I think maybe yes. Meaning, is the Gemara slugging up Rav Huna not al pi din, as if to say, well, this brisa disagrees with your halacha conclusion, but only on a level of, if I can use the term parshanut, in terms of how to interpret the pesukim? Or should we propose, and again, I looked high and low, I haven't come up with anything yet, that perhaps the Brisa is unwilling to interpret like Rav Huna, not only because of the relationship between the Reish and the Sefer, I mean, that's explicit in the Brisa, but in addition, because the halachic conclusion that Rav Huna bases on his interpretation of the pasuk, and maybe the only time we can allow the Gol Adam to be off the hook and sort of allow him with a green light to take the one and kill the Rotzeach only when the Rotzeach was responsible for not availing himself of the Ir Miklat, which means one of two things. Either he's out there in China, he took a slow boat to China, you know, we can't expedite him, there are no friendly laws between us and China, or alternatively, maybe he actually deliberately, for no reason whatsoever, stepped out of the Ir Miklat.
So, how do you know that the Gol Adam has issues to kill him?
Well, that's going to be the sugya daf yud beis. That if the rotzeach is given, you know, due notice and he doesn't do his due diligence, yeah, then there's according to one Tana, there's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to kill him, and according to the other man, the Yom is a reshus for the Gol Adam. Machlok stream Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yossi. That we'll get to.
Is there a position for that?
Yeah. We'll get to that. Believe me, I don't want to take out time now to go through that, but I'm just saying the question that we have to address here today, and I don't begin to know the answer to this question. I'm really vacillating. I'm torn in two ways. What would the Bala Brisa, who's a Tana, say to a case where the Gol Adam killed the Rotzeach when he was innocently running and fulfilling his obligation to get himself over to the Mikvah? Would the Gol Adam have the ability to do so? I'm not sure.
Based on what you just said, on the Gemara, the machlok is there, whether it's a mitzvah or rishus.
No, but the Gemara over there is addressing the case where the Gol Adam deliberately leaves or doesn't avail himself of the Ir Miklat. I don't know that those Tanoim would extend the rishus or the mitzvah of the Gol Adam in a case where the Rotzeach is never on his way to the Ir Miklat. Because, Rabbi Sachtowitz, isn't it counterintuitive? The Torah went out of its way to create a situation of an Ir Miklat. Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives the Rotzeach an opportunity to get himself over to the Ir Miklat. The Ir Miklat is a 5-hour drive, or whatever it is, a 10-hour, I don't know how long. The Gol Adam has a green light to kill him.
The Ir Miklat is necessary because the Gol Adam has rishus or mitzvah to kill him. How do we know that? I mean, you know, to murder someone is a big deal.
Yeah, have a chumash. We'll go through the psukim maybe in chumash. But
so according to
but the case is where he leaves the Ir Miklat.
According to Rav Huna, makes a lot of sense the way he interprets it.
Okay.
Then you have a source. Then you
right. No. The psukim for a person, for a rotzeach who leaves the Ir Miklat, are pretty clear. I don't want to take the time to do it. If I get a chance, Bli Neder, we'll go through it. And I don't have it right now. In front. You know what? Maybe he has it here. Just 1 second. Give me 1 second here. Just 1 second. Where is this here? Again, I'll try to, as Tochid Dei Bashir, I'll try to organize an answer for your question. It wasn't on my radar screen, so I didn't put it.
So what's the svara for not allowing him to kill him when he hasn't reached the...
No, what I'm suggesting is that it's kind of like a stirim in Eyu Bey. You know, you one hand going this way, one hand going the opposite direction. You create the institution of Ir Miklat. That's what the Torah wanted to. The Torah wanted to guarantee some sort of protection and at the same time a kapara and an onesh and so forth and so on. And then you tell me that until he gets himself over to the Ir Miklat, he's vulnerable. The guy, you know, the mafiosos come with their submachine guns and they put 50 bullets into his body. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Ribbono Shel Olam, give him the opportunity at least to get his yashvan over to the Ir Miklat, at least on the first round. But again, Rabosai, I think the burden of proof is on you to disagree with me, and I'll tell you why. Because Rav Huna was mechadish something. Rav Huna came to the fore and he said, "Rotzeach shegol Ir Miklat, mitzol gol adam v'harogo potur." And the Gemara says, "Kasavar," because Rav Huna was misled based on his interpretation of psukim. Now, why do I use the word misled? Because if you look in the Brisa says, as if yelling and screaming at Rav Huna, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. So what right do you, Rav Huna, have to draw the conclusion that Rotzeach shegol Ir Miklat mitzol gol adam v'harogo potur? Who told you such a thing? Even Rav Huna says, I don't know it based on human logic. I'm not saying some sort of psychological svara here that, you know, the Gol Adam is angry and he can't control himself. That's not, you know, in France they have something called the crime of passion, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's very interesting. In France, if you kill someone, let's say you find someone, okay, I don't want to go into detail, it's not so tsanua. Right, a husband and wife. Then you kill the guy, but it's not a husband. Oh, right, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the... So
the husband kills the lover.
Right. So I'm just saying, I don't think that the Dosh State and Rav Huna, that this is a crime of passion. I think what Rav Huna is saying is, Kasavar, because I am of the opinion that this pasuk is begal adam hu d'ksiv. If I didn't have that basis, if I had not come to that conclusion, then there's no reason to alleviate the goal adam from his retziva. Right. He's killing an innocent man.
Especially since this is his first round, we don't know if he's one of three. It could have been Onis, Shogeg, or Mazi. If he's Shogeg, fine. Everything's fine. He killed him, supposedly.
Well, that.
But what happened? I know what you're saying. Like the court didn't even see.
Right. So we're going to get to that down the line. As I told you, we can't answer all the questions at once. But I'm just saying, let's assume we have proof positive that he killed Bishogig. What would be the din of the Gol Adam? And I think that's a very fundamental question. So far, I haven't found anyone to address it. But I'm telling you, I'm not asking for a munis chachamim here because I don't come under that category. But my intuition, based on the methodology that I was taught in the structure of the Gemara and its flow, the Lashon HaShas indicates that this Braisa disagrees with Rav Huna lahalacha. The Gol Adam has no right to kill the Rotzeach when the Rotzeach is on his way to the Ir Miklat. That's Lefi Aniyus Da'ati. Again, you'll find something in the, I don't know, in the footnotes on the Rambam or something that says just the opposite. So I'll have to throw up my hands. I can't fight City Hall. But if, you know, Ein L'Dayan, this is what I see in the whole basis for Rav Huna is the interpretation of the Pasuk. If not for that, he has no leg to stand on. And the Gemara tells us that although Rav Huna's understanding of the pasuk was a have been in the mind of the Braisa, but the Bala Braisa says, Yachal, I might think so, and it's not so. And if it's not so, what basis does Rav Huna have for his conclusion? But again, the Gemara now has to, you know, is in a bind. You know, he can't leave Rav Huna as contradicted by a Braisa. So the Gemara has to find some, you know, salvage something in, on behalf of Rav Huna. Who the Amaki Haitan, Rav Huna has a basis in a different Tanya. So basically, this whole issue is a Machlokas Tanoi. Two different Braises. The Sanya we learned in the second Brais of a low Ein Mishpat Moves. He doesn't deserve to die. Begol Hadam Hakosuv Midaber. The pasuk is referring to the Gol Adam as Rav Huna had it. Atom Gol Adam Hakosuv Midaber. Oh, ain't no Elabrot Seach. Maybe you'll say like the first Brisa that it's referring to the Rotseach, that he, the Rotseach, doesn't deserve to die, and therefore we have to do whatever we can to try to facilitate his protection. Kshu Omer Ki Lo Sonehu Mitmol Shilshom Hare Harotseach Amor. Amur, meaning the rest of the pasuk, the continuation of the pasuk is certainly addressing the case of the Rotseach, and therefore we should assume that for sure the Rotseach, since he's described as lo sonei lo mitmol shilshom, it's a davar pashut that ain lo mishpat moves. I don't need a pasuk to tell me ain lo mishpat moves, because you've already told me lo sonei lo mitmol shilshom. So what? So now we have something that's miutar, that's totally superfluous, namely the words v'lo ein mishpat moves. So hamani makayim, what do I do with the pasuk lo ein mishpat moves? But gol adam hakosuv midam. It must be referring to the gol adam. One second, was there something else I wanted to point out? No. Okay, so let's go on, because we're not finished with the sugya by far. We know now that according to Rav Huna, the Gol Adam who kills the Rotzech on the Rotzech's way to their miklat is patur tnan, and the Gemara is going to now try to substantiate Rav Huna from the Mishnah. And by the way, you and I might think that seems to indicate that Rav Huna is well accepted, but I'm not sure. If the Gemara is working overtime to try to find a proof for Rav Huna, maybe it means that Rav Huna is standing on it's a weak link. And not only that, the Gemara is going to reject that proof. Anyway, what is the proof? It says in the Mishnah, what does it say in the Mishnah? It says Moshe Lo Bezdin would give the Rotzeach Shnei Talmidei Chacham an escort of two scholars. And why? What are we afraid of? Shema Yahargenu Baderech. Because maybe the Gol Adam will kill him on his way. V'yidabru Elov. And the Talmidei Chacham should speak to the Gol Adam. I'm sorry, you know what? I made a big mistake here and I apologize. Tnan, I said, was that the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah as a support text to Rav Huna Pungfaker. Scratch that from the record. The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah as a shlagav, as a disproof to Rav Huna, which again indicates in my mind that we're not so sure Rav Huna is correct. My lav, says the Gemara, what are these two Talmidei Chachamim, I mean the escort of the Rotzeach, the Mikl, what are they saying? What are they declaring? They're saying something. I mean, it says v'yidabru. My lav, the masri bay, pumfaket, exact opposite of Rav Huna. They are there, and I begin to understand why there are two of them, to fill the following function. That in event that the Gol Adam takes the law into his own hands, the Kadil, meaning he goes ahead and he kills the Rotzeach, Barktolahu, we have to kill the Gol Adam.
This is the second one, right?
Again, right now we're on the way to the Ir Miklat, correct? And we're on, again, because that's the sugya that we're learning now, right? We're on the way to the Ir Miklat. We saw the Rashi. Rashi says, Umitzo Gol Adam Adem.
The two coming catch
up. Oh, this comes back to your business with the Rambam. You're right. Okay. So again, but Rabosai, What are we saying? What's the purpose now of the Talmidei Chachamim talking to the Gol Adam? The Gemara says they're giving him asra. It means the Gol Adam is subject to the death penalty If he kills the goal, if he kills the rotzeach, again, we're not talking about a case where he's, the rotzeach is already in the Eir Miklat. If he's in the Eir Miklat, then for sure he's protected against the goal adam. We don't have to go out of our way to provide an extra protection. Obviously, these two talmidei chachamim, Mosrim lo, they're somehow being malava him. They're escorting him to the Eir Miklat. If that be the case, you see clearly that the Gol Adam is responsible as a murderer, and he will be tried and subject to capital punishment and executed if he takes the life of the Gol Adam. Again, only of the Rotzeh. Only if there's Asra. And why the two Talmidei Chachamim say?
Two Eidim.
Two Eidim? Yeah.
Didn't we have earlier mention these two Talmidei Chachamim? I remember correctly.
There, and
there it was to persuade him.
Right, not to take the Lord's son. That's Rav Huna. Correct.
That would be Rav Huna.
Yeah, that would be Rav Huna. Excellent. The Gemara says, lo, that's not what it means that Talmidei Chachamim escort and speak to him. They're not speaking to the Gol Adam to put Asra into place, to register Asra. Kedisanya, but rather, as we learned in the Braisa, V'yedabru Elov, what do they speak to the Gol Adam? Dvarim Haru'uyim lo. Dvarim Haru'uyim lo means things that will appeal to him, you know, somehow appeal to his better conscience. And what do they say to him? Omlo al tidig bo minag shofchei damim. Don't consider him as if he deliberately murdered your relative. Bishgaga ba maisel yado. So again, I'm not exactly sure why we need two Talmidei Chachamim. Again, in the first shot that they're giving him Asra, the halachas of Asra are very complicated. I mean, you really have to know a sugya in Sanhedrin inside out exactly what's the nature of that asra. But if we're talking about just calming him down and cooling him off, you know, I would wonder why we need Talmidei Chachamim. Maybe perhaps he takes the words of Talmidei Chachamim more seriously than he would weigh the words of a regular rank and file citizen. I don't know.
Why two?
So he says here in the footnote, Hatam Shitzok Shnei Talmidei Chachamim V'lo Dai Bi Echad, who ke'en, this is the Aruch HaNer, who ke'en she matzinu l'gabi Adam Choshev Shelo Yetzi L'derech Alam Ken Yesh Shnayim Lavim Imo U'bir Rashi. Rashi in Chumash in Breishis Chaf Beis says, based on the Gemara in Sota Daf Zayin, why do we take two people to escort him? Shezeu kidei shem yitztarcha echad l'nekava v'yasheni ito. Alright. This reminds me of the sugya at the end of Kiddushin about yichud, that, you know, it's got to be one man with two women, and it's got to be two men with one woman, and if they're on the road, it's got to be three men with two women, because one of the men disappears because he has to go to the toilet. Okay, fine. Anyway, it's dach gadol. It's not clear to us why you need two Talmidei Chacham. Rabbi Meir Omer, who medaber al yidei atzmo? He, the Rotzech himself, is the one who's trying to calm down the Gol Adam, and he should not send any messengers here to represent him. He's got to really save himself. Shenema, because the pasuk says v'zeh dvar harotzeach. In other words, whereas the Chachamim would be willing to say, you know what, maybe the Rotzeach doesn't feel that he's the best spokesman, even for himself, to defend himself and calm down the Gol Adam. Let him find an agent who will do the job for him, which is going to be the next line in the Gemara. But Rabbi Meir says, the Torah says, v'zeh dvar harotzeach, which clearly means that the responsibility is on the Rotzeach. The Chacham are not denying that. They also understand v'zeh dvar harotzeach imposes a responsibility on the Rotzeach to protect himself. Amru lo, but the Chacham tell Rabbi Meir, harbe shlichus osa. Notice the Torah accepted shluchim. There are many things that a person can't do as well as his shliach. Sometimes it's because of distances. But in this case, it may be because there's a certain superior, more successful method of achieving our goal if the Talmidei Chachamim will speak to the Gol Adam. Anyway, let's just review. The Gemara thought that the Mishnah that applies this rule of an escort to speak to the Gol Adam is a shlug up, it's a contradiction to Rav Huna. It means that Adarab, the Gol Adam, will be guilty. The two people here are coming to give him Masra, and the Gemara says, name. That's not the goal of the two people. They're just trying to avoid an unnecessary murder by convincing the Gol Adam that he shouldn't do this. But Enochinami, Rav Huna is right. If the Gol Adam did so, velo ein mishpat modis. Omar Mar, we had a brisa before, and the brisa says that what are the Talmid Chacham going to tell the Gol Adam? Bishgaga b'maise liyado, that he did this bishgaga. So Gemara says pshita. I mean, obviously, if he's going to the Ermiklot, it must be that he's a shogeg. Why do they have to be mechadish chidushim at these Talmid Chacham and tell him that it's bishgaga? Deibe meizid bar golusu. That's a rhetorical question. In other words, if he killed the Mazid, he wouldn't have the ability to avail himself of the Yer Miklot. In. So the Gemara says, yes, even a Rotzeach the Mazid has a din of goals to the Yer Miklot. For Asanya, because we learned it a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bitchila, in other words, every Rotzeach, even before we bring him to court and determine perhaps that he was a Mazid, is echad shogeg v'echad meizid makdimim liyare miklot. We have to send him and force him to go into the miklot, and then only later we're going to bring him back and try him. So we see there is a possibility, and in a sense, this is, you know, this is the protocol that the rotzeach, even if he's a meizid, has to go to the miklot. Then we have Rav Aaron's question. So if he's a meizid, why are these Talmid Chacham saying that he's a shogeg? Okay, so that's what we're going to go through. But before we get to that question, where does it indicate in the Torah itself, what's the scriptural basis for this halacha that every single murderer, whether he's a meizid or a shogeg, will run to the miklot? So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Masel Echad Shogeg V'Echad Mezid, it's about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. He says, V'yolif Taima Mikro. There's a pasuk that teaches this. V'chiyia Ish Sone L'Re'ehu, which means clearly we're talking about a Mezid. V'arav Lo, he ambushes him. V'kamal Aviko Nefesh, V'mez, and he kills him. And the next part of the pasuk it says, V'nos El Achas Ha'orim Ha'ela. Mashma imhargo b'chavona yonus, because it says v'sholchu ziknei iro, and then they send to bring him back. So Rashi fills in a very important piece of the puzzle here, and we know now where's the source for this din that everyone, every case of rotzeach, he first has to get himself over to the ir miklat. So echad ahorig b'mezid. So what does this mean? Did he have Asra? When the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Echad Ahorig B'mezid, are we talking about with Asra or without a Asra? So in Masechta Sanhedrin, it says that if a person had a Asra and then he killed someone, immediately we lock him up. We don't send him to the Ermiklat. So by process of elimination, this case of Echad Ahorig B'mezid must be a case where there's no hasra. So the Ritva writes, Umash and Emer v'Gemara im nischayav hariga hargu, which means that we take him from the Yer Miklat and we judge him, and if he's chayav emisa, we will kill him. What does that mean? After all, if he had hasra, the Gemara says, im nischayav sanhedrin, we kill him immediately. I mean, we take him into custody and then we put him to trial. So how do we allow him to get to the Amikla, then take him back to the Bezdin, and then decide that he's Chayev and that he should be killed? The whole thing makes no sense.
The guys who gave him Hasra are not Shotrim. I mean,
I lost you. Say it again. I didn't hear the first part.
The two guys who gave Hasra are not Shotrim to lock the guy up, to make a citizen's arrest. I mean, this guy ran immediately, even right after or whatever.
No, but the assumption here is that There's going to be protection for this Rotzeach. In other words, we're encouraging the Rotzeach. Indeed, we're obligating the Rotzeach, even though he's amazing, to get himself over to the Yer Miklat, to be protected in the Yer Miklat, as long as he's in the Yer Miklat.
He's running.
So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, again, I'm quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that in Hisrubo, Chovshin Osomiyah, As I state in Sanhedrin. So the Ritva wants to know.
Okay,
so again, I let's look at the Ritva's answer. You know. Again, the Ritva is asking the following question. The Ritva wants to know what's going on over here. Again, let's work. You know, let's throw ourselves into the mental premises of the Ritva. Let's not try to answer the Ritva's question. Let's try to appreciate his question. What is he asking? The Ritva understands that if a person gets Asro, and there are two people who are testifying that he got Asro, and he immediately puts someone to death following that Asro, and he's violated that Asro, then based on the Sugya and Sanhedrin, according to the Ritva's interpretation, we immediately lock the guy up. We will not allow him to be protected by the Ir Mikla. Here it says, Echad Rotzeach b'mezid, Echad Rotzeach b'shogeg. So what case is the mezid? Says the Ritva, by process of elimination, it's got to be where there was no Hasra. If there was no Hasra, then what does the Brisa mean when it says, V'sholchu ziknei yevelochos omisham, and then we're going to put him to death? What do you mean we're going to put him to death? How can we put him to death? There was no Hasra.
Because it means a different kind of death. They put him in Kippah.
So the Ritva gives a different answer. Again, your answer may be a good one. I don't know. But the Ritva comes up with a different answer. And the Ritva says that what we're going to do is, if we decide that he's a shogeg, or alternatively, I'm sorry, scratch that. If we decide that he's a shogeg karov lemezid, or alternatively, Bezdin might care that avert that he was amazed without Asra. Then what we do is, we have the Gol Adam put him to death. So this is a brand new halacha here. The Ritva holds that only a shogeg can avail himself of the Ir Miklat. Bezdin is going to bring this guy back into the courts, schlep him from the Ir Miklat into the courts, and decide if he's a shogeg, Enochinami, send him to the Ir Miklat again. If he's not a shogeg, again, he can't be a mezid who's chayav nisa because there was no hasra. That's the Ritva's premise. But he might be one of two other things. He might be a mezid minus hasra, or he might be a shogeg karaf lemezid. In either event, we allow the Gol Adam to kill him. V'yatiruhu legol Adam. So again, if he's talking about a mezid without Asra, maybe I can understand it. Again, you have to understand what Asra is. That's the whole sugi with its lahavkin ben shogeg lemezid. But let's assume they determine he's a mezid despite the fact that there was no Asra. He's a chacham and he knows the law. He can't claim he didn't know the law. Circumstances indicate that he did it deliberately. You know, he didn't accidentally slip on a banana peel. Everything was, maybe he's a Sone, if you remember, Sone and Nicola. So we assume he's amazing. And just technically, we can't put him to death actively because there was no Asra. Comes the Ritva with a brand new breakthrough that we can give him over to the Gol Adam, let the Gol Adam take the law into his hands. And it's not far, Rabbi Sachtowitz, from what you were saying about, you know, Machnisa Solikipa. Because again, it's a way in which Bezdin, although they're enjoined from putting him to death actively, they find they circumvent the law and find another way of putting him to death. I think that's what you meant. No, you meant something else.
The Chachamim, the Mishnah they realized that to permit murder was not a good thing. To give in the case of Hasra is a very rare possibility. So what do you do with murderers when you can't put them to death officially? So they figure out a way. They had a way, and that was a very practical way of ultimately putting them to death anyway, but not skila, sreifa, etc.
Right, that's okay. What I thought you were saying.
I mean, the Ritva here is going very, very far by suggesting that the Goyal Adam, we're permitting him to murder. The Bezdin has permission to kill him. Nobody else has permission to kill him.
That's not the Ritva. The Ritva is saying that
if
Bezdin technically, on a technicality, can't kill him. Again, he's amazing. He's no less than amazing.
So the Bezdin has a din. They have to deal with that issue, and that happened very, very often in their time.
Okay,
they dealt with it.
So but why do you?
Very, very difficult for me.
But again, why do you object? Again, I think the Ritva is answering his question in the only way possible. But even if you don't agree with me on that point, why do you feel in any way uncomfortable? Why would it rub you the wrong way that if a person killed B'mezid and Bezin doesn't have the ability to execute him, that they give him to the Gol Adam to execute
him? Because it's murder.
Yeah, but it's murder.
What do you mean it's a murder? This guy is a no good murderer. He should be put to death.
Only Bezin has permission to do that. Not a Stam Gol Adam.
But definitely he's not a murderer.
And we never heard.
No, he's not a murderer on a technicality. What do I mean? Sometimes we need the Hasra to establish that he was amazing. But we're talking about a case that despite the absence of Hasra, we know he's amazing. We've determined that he's amazing. Says the Ritva. If we determine that he's amazing, why don't put him to death? If we would have put him to death, I would have been happy. Right? But we can't put him to death. Why? Because Hasra plays a double role. Hasra on the one hand is to clarify, it's a clarification, and number two, it's a loophole, it's a technical requirement. If that technical requirement prevents the hands of Bezdin, then let the Gol Adam kill him. In fact, according to Rav Huna, the Gol Adam could kill this guy, and he may even be and he's a pure shogeg. Again, the Talmid Chacham are trying to calm him down. But says Rav Huna, if the Talmid Chacham don't succeed in calming him down, then he knocks the block off of this horig b'shogeg. We can't even touch the Gol Adam. Now we're talking about a person who killed his relative b'mezid. He deserves to die. On a technical loophole, we can't kill him because there was no Asra. But again, in terms of clarification, we know he was amazing. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a problem with the Gol Adam putting him to death. Oh, I know what your problem is. Your problem is that how could Bezdin ask someone else to do what they can't do? That's your problem. But the answer is that the Gol Adam is not functioning here. He's not playing a role as Bezdin. He's not the Shliach Bezdin. You know, don't view the Gol Adam as the arm of Bezdin. The Gol Adam is operating because of his own responsibility, or at least, if not a responsibility, his own license to take
he's
the law.
Killing the Mazin.
What?
You're saying he's killing the Mazin.
He's killing a Mazin. That's why you stay in the Ritva.
But he can only kill a Shogeg.
So here's a case, says the Ritva. Because again, let's go through the Ritva. You know, you tell me where you object, to which premise you object. The Ritva says he can't figure out how is it that was telling a Mazin to run to the Irvikla. It's against the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The answer could only be according to the Ritva if there was no Asra. Good. Now you're telling me, okay, we let him go to the Ermikla, and now we're taking him back to Bezdin, and we're going to have him killed. In fact, the Ritva, how can you have him killed? He didn't have Asra. Says the Ritva, we're not going to kill him ourselves. We're going to let the Gol Adam do the job. But look at the morality of it. You're going to allow the Gol Adam to kill a Shogeg, and you're not going to allow him to kill a Mason? I know it rubs you the wrong way because here Bezdin is getting involved in the thing. Okay, Rabosei, let's go on because we're in the middle of the sugya and I want to get to the end of the sugya if possible. So let's see what we have. Okay, hold on to your questions. So the Gemara says the following. Shenemar. Okay, so what do? We take him back to Bezdin from the Ir Mikvah. Mishin is Chayev Misa. If he's Chayiv Misa Haraguhu, again, the Ritva says Chayiv Misa means he really deserves to be put to death. We can't kill him. Haraguhu means let the Gol Adam kill him. Okay, fine. And look at the pasuk, by the way. It's very fascinating. Shenemar v'sholchu zikne ira v'lochos ha-misham. And what does it say? It says he's going to die. I'm skipping a few words in the pasuk. V'meis. Who's going to die? Hello, anybody home? V'sholchu zikne ira. Again, we're talking about someone who's chayiv misa. V'sholchu ziknei iro v'lokhu osam misham. And now I'm going to skip a few words. V'meis. Who's going to die? V'meis. Durotzeach, am I right? Okay, now let's read the words that I skipped. Durotzeach is going to die? How is he going to die? Says the Ritva, it can't be the Bezdin is putting him to death because he had no Asra. If he had Asra, then the Gemara says to Sanhedrin, we would have immediately locked him up. We're not going to give him the okay to take advantage of the Ir Mikla. He doesn't have that right. Then he doesn't have that privilege. But v'nosnu oso biyad Gol Adam v'meis. I rest my case. I think the Ritva is almost black and white in the puzzle. I'm a big fan of the Ritva. Aaron?
Couldn't Bezdin also
like drop the guy in the middle of the desert and like...
Yeah, that's what Rabbi Sachs was saying. You know, maybe they could have done that. But again, keep in mind that this Braisa might be reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, if I remember, or it's Rabbi Yossi Agli, I think it's Rabbi Akiva, who says, mitzvah b'yad gol adam lahargo. That the gol adam is actually fulfilling a mitzvah here. You know, if the guy dies in a desert because he dropped him from a high, you know, dropped him from a helicopter in a desert, you know, the closest oasis is about 50 million miles, so that's not a mitzvah. You know, you can't say you did a mitzvah. But if the Gol Adam kills him, that's a mitzvah, according to at least one day. Again, we're anticipating a sugya, which we really have to learn that sugya and then come back and learn this sugya again. Mishalon is chayev. What happens if Beis Din decides that there's not enough evidence to put him to death, is pitaruhu. Okay, so it means one of two things in my mind. And tell me if you agree with me. Either it means Mishlon is chayev, means he's not chayev neither as a mezid nor as a shogeg. In other words, he's karov leonis. Or it might mean that we don't have evidence that he committed the murder. So we can't even call him a shogeg or a rotzech at all. I think the first option is a little better. Pitaruhu will send him on his way. Shenemar vitzilu ha'eda. Now watch this. If I only quoted to you the first two words in this pasuk, vitzilu ha'eda. So really, what we're saying is that he doesn't deserve neither to die at the hands of the Gol Adam, right? Nor to be stuck for the rest of his life, or at least till the Kohen Gadol dies, in the Ir Miklat. So that's Vitzilu Ha'edah. In other words, we're saving him from death, or we're saving him from Ir Miklat, or both. But look what the Torah says. The Torah says, Vitzilu Ha'edah Sarotzeach Miyad Gol Adam. We're saving him from the Gol Adam. How do we save him from the Gol Adam? By warning the Gol Adam that if he kills him, he'll be killed. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why is the Gol Adam such a big shot? You know, he gets together all his mafiosos with all the submachine rifles and, you know, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse and everything else. Why? The answer is because he has license to kill him. Took me. Do me something if I kill him. But the answer is, Vitzilu Ha'edah V'yad Gol Adam. We're going to paskin on this rotzeach that he does not have the status of kilo. He doesn't have the status of a rotzeach as far as the Gol Adam is concerned. We're going to save him from the Gol Adam by telling the Gol Adam, don't even dream of taking revenge against him, because if you do so, we're going to put you to death as a full-fledged murderer. Mishin is chayv golus, machzir no solim komo. Which, by the way, I would have been happier if machzir no solim komo means that we give him, you know, what do they call it, a witness protection plan, you know, and really bring him back there with a whole army. But I'm not sure that that's what it means. Especially if you assume that, again, we're going to give him two talmid chachamim, two little yeshiva guys, you know, lovely yeshiva guys, to protect him against the Gol Adam on his way back to the Ir Miklat. So now we're not applying the principle of Vitzilu Ha'edah Sarotzeach Miyad Gol Adam, which means that at this point it would seem that the Gol Adam does have the ability to take the law into his and kill this guy. And Rav Huna's principle, which we apply in the first round, that the Gol Adam killed him when he, the Rotzeach, was on the way to the Ir Miklat, should now apply equally to the second round, L'chora, when we get the final verdict is handed down that this Rotzech is indeed Chayav Golus, but now we have the technicality, logistically, we've got to get this guy, this Rotzech, back to the Ir Miklat. Maybe the Gol Adam, because there's no possible Vitzilu Ha'edah Sarotzeach Miyad Gol Adam at this point, the Gol Adam can indeed do what he has to do. Shenemar Ve'eshivu Oso Ha'edah El Ir Miklato Asher Nos Sham. What's this going on in this pasuk? The pasuk is talking about a case where we bring him back to the Ir Miklat. Why are we bringing him back to the Ir Miklat? The answer is because from the start, from the get-go, once he committed the murder, he went to the Ir Miklat, and now, after trial and determining through the verdict that he is Chayv Golos, we bring him, he goes back to the Ir Miklat. The Aruch HaNer claims that it would sound like this Bryce is telling us that the same exact Beis Din that handed down the verdict Shedonim es ha-horig b'mezid la-hariga heim elu shedonim es ha-horig b'shkaga l'golos. It's interesting. You know, we have different types of batei din. We have the lowest Beis Din, which is a dini momenus, and it's three. And then when it comes to dini nefashos, we have to jack it up to 23. And then we have the highest Beis Din in the land, which is Ayin Aleph. So the Aruch HaNer wants to assume that, again, I wouldn't have noticed this in a million years, that the same Beis Din will decide whether he's Chayav Misa as a Rotseach, or again, I use that term loosely because at the end of the day they can't implement the death penalty according to the Ritva, but they'll do what they have to do, or he's Chayav Golos. Now, why is it that this price assumes the same Beis Din? It could very well be that if you're determining whether he's Chayav Misa or not, if that's the issue at stake, if you want to hand down a verdict that he should die, or at least the Gol Adam could put him to death, that requires the higher Beis Din of Chav Gimel. But nevertheless, in terms of establishing his Chiv Golus, who says we need the same exact Beis Din, namely the stature of the Beis Din has to be that it's comprised of 23 members? Is Golus considered equal to death, to a death penalty? And at the end of the day, the Aruch HaNer finishes by saying, Yesh Tema B'Dover. He says, I don't understand. Lo Nizkar Din Zeh, Lo B'Mishnah, Lo B'Braisa, Lo B'Rambam, Lo B'Shum Mokom. Nobody mentions how much of a Beis Din, what status of Beis Din you require to hand down a verdict that someone is Chayev Golos.
It's the case. The case is whether he killed him or not.
Right.
It's just the case that if you're to determine that, you need 23.
I mean, maybe his diuk is not a diuk. You know, he's reading this brisa that says Beis Din Sholchin Osam Avino Osam Yisham, and that very same Beis Din is the Beis Din that's going to send them back to the Ir Miklat. Maybe another Beis Din of a lower court.
They don't know that he's not the Rotzeach before he tried it. And it might
no, in other words, why can't you have one Beis Din that determines that he's a Rotzeach and he's Chayav Misa, give him over to the Gol Adam? Correct? And if that Beis Din doesn't succeed in handing down such a verdict, now we have to try him on the level of Shogeg and determine whether he's enough of a Shogeg to go to the Ir Miklat, says the Aruch HaNer, get a different Beis Din for that. No, it's got to be the same Beis Din, because the Lashon of the Braisa indicates that it in fact is the same
case. You have to determine how he did it.
No, but I'm asking you, so what Beis Din do we require for a Chiv Shogeg? Again, it could, you know, if not for the Aruch HaNer, we could have said it's a different Beis Din. Again, it, you know, logistically, it may have been the same Beis Din, but does the halacha require that it be the same Beis Din?
Well, the point is that when that they're making that decision, they don't know that he's a Golos until after they decide that he's not a Roseach.
No, but there are two different criteria. You know, in other words, the testimony is going to be totally different. In the first case, we're going to have to determine whether there was an element of mezid here. If we want to determine that there was mezid, we need a bezin of chav gimel. Okay, so now we've determined that there's no mezid; he doesn't deserve to die. Now we have other possibilities: is he a shogeg? Is he karav liones? Is he did he go, it was Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida? I mean, that's a whole different set of criteria. For that, do we need the same Beis Din of 23, the likes of which is required for Dini Nefashos?
Well, why isn't that extension of the
thing? No, so you're right. Logistically, you may be right, but let's say the members of the court are involved in a very pressing case. They have to determine who murdered a Palestinian or something. So they're called out for an emergency meeting, you know. And so, you know what I'm saying? Can a lesser Beis Din take over? That, you know, it's a lundish question. You're right, logistically, why? I mean, you went this far, you interrogated the Eidim, you came to the conclusion that it wasn't amazing. So tell me, what kind of shogeg was it? Was this shogeg? Was it that shogeg? Did he climb the mountain? Did he fall down from the mountain? You might as well go, you know, as we say baseball, you know, round third base and come to home plate. But let's say the Beis Din was called out on an emergency meeting. I'm just inventing. Let's just read two more lines and then we'll call it. The Gemara says the following: Mishin is chayev golos machzimin osolim komo shenem veishim v'sedem v'yom mikol shenos sham. Correct, and then we saw the aruch lender. Now, this brisa is divided into, shall we say, two opinions, to a ratio to say, for what we've learned until now, is the ratio. And that's attributed, as we saw at the beginning, to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Now we get to Rebbe. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that this law that Rabbi Yossi assumes that every Rotzeach, including a Rotzeach B'mezid, again the Ritva says without Asra, has to run into the Yermiklat and will be granted protection therein, that's not true. Beis Din is not going to encourage someone who's a mezid, again a mezid without asra, Ella, but rather what is it? May atzmon heim go. That the Rotzeach himself will be motivated and will make the decision, no matter what, to get himself to the Ir Miklat. Kisvurin heim, Echad Shoge vi Echad Mezid Kultos. They think, meaning the first opinion, Rebbe's talking about the first opinion of Rabbi Yossi. I think he uses a plural here because maybe there were others who agreed, or maybe it was a royal we kind of thing. That Echad Shoge vi Echad Mezid Kultos, that the Ir Miklat is Koletes even for Mezid. The Hein Einam Yodim, what they're not willing to learn and to understand, is Shebishogeg Kultos, the Mezid Einon Kultos. That the case of Ir Miklat and the power of Ir Miklat is only relevant to a Shogeg. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is being accused here of making a gigantic assumption which is absolutely not true. Namely, that the Ir Miklat could afford protection even for a Mezid. And that's not true. So Rabbosai, what I'd like to do at this point is stop here. I would love to pick this up again next week with a fresh mind and analyze this question of would the Ir Miklat have power of protection not only for a shogeg but even for a mezid. Okay then? So we'll stop here. Do we have a minute for Myrish?